Welcome to our study of John chapter 12 here on the Radio Bible Course. Today we begin with verse 20 of chapter 12. It reads, "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew went with Philip, and they told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit.'" Who were these Greeks? Let's talk about that briefly. It says they came to the Passover feast, so they must have had some kind of a connection to Judaism. And we have evidence that they were Gentiles who had come under the influence of the Greek culture, even though they may not have been native Greeks. But they were attracted to Judaism because of the high moral standards of the Jews. I say that, comparatively speaking, because pagans had barnyard morality compared to the Jews. God had given the law through Moses to Israel, and that law had spelled out moral standards for his people. For example, God prohibited incest and adultery. These were terrible sins in the sight of God, but the pagans practiced them. These Greeks here were people who had been attracted to Judaism not only for its morality, but because we believe the Jews had a stable religion that made sense. They had prophets and they had history, and that was worth considering when one was looking for a religion. The Jews believed in one God, and they talked about how this one God brought their ancestors out of Egypt. And there was enough history around so that this could be verified. There were other writers in that day who told about this, and the word of God's great doings for his people had spread throughout that part of the world. Remember Rahab the harlot who lived in Jericho. In the book of Joshua, we read that she had heard how the God of these children of Israel had opened the Red Sea. So the message spread all over that part of the world. It says that these Greeks had come to the feast. Which feast? Well, it's the week of the Passover feast. Some scholars referred to these Greeks as God-fearers. They were not necessarily proselytes of Judaism, who received circumcision and actually became Jews. They seemed to be a distinct group of people, and there were many of them. Let's discuss some of these people briefly. One of them, I believe, was Cornelius. You read about him in Acts chapter 10. I think he was one of these God-fearers because Acts 10:22 describes Cornelius as a centurion and upright and God-fearing man. See, by that, he was not a Jew. A God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, and he was directed by holy angels to send for Peter. Now, this is the occasion where Peter was in Joppa, just next to Tel Aviv. An angel appeared and said, "Send for Peter. He's living with Simon the Tanner." But notice how he is described, a God-fearing man. He is likely one of those Greeks. Then when Paul went on his first missionary journey into the present-day country of Turkey, also called Galatia at that time, in Acts 13, he went to Antioch, and in the synagogue Paul stood up and motioned with his hands and said, "Men of Israel, and you that fear God, listen." And then he preached to them. It may be that you never noticed those words, "and you that fear God." Well, didn't the men of Israel fear God? They did, of course. That's why they were in the synagogue. But there are also these other people, which Paul recognized. So there were two kinds of men here, the Jews who followed the Old Testament, plus some Greeks who feared God and seemed to have attached themselves to the synagogue and were learning about the one true God from the Jews. And when Paul went to Thessalonica, we read in Acts 17, verse 4, and some of them were persuaded by Paul's preaching, obviously, and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks. There it is again. Notice, many of the devout Greeks. Ah, they also are in the synagogue, many of them. So the Greeks now, who want to see Jesus in John chapter 12, are probably some of these people known as God-fearers. Now the fact that John mentioned these Greeks only once, and then they disappear from the scene is interesting, especially since none of the other Gospels even mention this coming of the Greeks to Jesus. But this suggests that the arrival of the Greeks and their desire to see him, not just to look at Jesus, but to have an interview with him, is significant. But why should they want an interview with Jesus? For the same reason that all of those millions of people who had come to Jerusalem, they were looking for Jesus. They had heard about the miracles which he had done, especially the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So these Greeks apparently wanted to talk to this fellow. But did Jesus agree to meet them? Apparently not, for nothing is said in the text about it. One of my old friends, now deceased, was very troubled by this attitude that Jesus did not meet with the Greeks. He said, I could never understand why Jesus wouldn't meet those Greeks and talk to them, and he felt badly about that. Well, I don't, because Jesus knew what he was doing. He was following the will of the Father. This coming of the Greeks must have had significance, great significance, to the Apostle John, or he would not have included it here in the text. Although the Greeks are mentioned in only a few verses, there is something of tremendous importance here. The arrival of the Greeks was a signal that the hour had come. For Jesus, this would mark the end of his journey on the earth. After some 3 to 3.5 years, Greeks didn't come earlier, but now they come, and all is coming to a climax. It appears to be a signal to Jesus, as though the Father had whispered in his ear, when the Greeks come, then you will know your hour has come. Well, how did Jesus respond? He said, the hour has come when the Son of Man should be glorified. This would mean that Jesus would soon become the Savior of the entire world. Up until that time, however, what do we have in the Bible? We have Jesus going to Jews only, almost exclusively. Now, many Bible readers have missed this point. They read through the Gospels and they see Jesus talking to people and they conclude that what Jesus told them, he is also telling us to do. I want to correct that. Jesus did not tell us, he told them, those Jews. When you are reading the Gospels, please differentiate what is for you as a Christian and what is for the Jews who were under the law. If you don't, you won't make much sense out of the Bible. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus healed a man of leprosy. And what did he tell him to do? Here it is, quote, go to the priest and offer a sacrifice as Moses commanded. Was that to us? If you get healed as a result of prayer, are you going to look up a Jewish priest and get him to offer a sacrifice? Well, if you find one, he won't offer a sacrifice because it's, in the first place, against the law to sacrifice animals. And in the second place, he wouldn't know how to do it today. You see, that instruction was for people in that day who were living according to the law and according to what Moses instructed. But with the arrival of the Greeks, the message of Jesus is going to go to all the world. The gospel of grace is going to be preached after that. Up to this time, Jesus' life was focused on Israel. A fascinating example of that is found in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus went to the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. And it says, "Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon.' Jesus did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him and said, 'Send her away, for she is crying after us.' And he answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, help me.' He replied, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs.' 'Yes, Lord,' she said, 'but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Now, what do we learn here from this attitude of Jesus and his expression to the woman? We learn that he had a primary mission from the Father, and that was to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who were those lost sheep? Well, they were the Jews who were there all through that land. Until he had fulfilled what the Father sent him to do, that is, to be the Messiah and the King of the Jews, he could not be extending himself to other peoples. That's the significance of this event in Matthew chapter 15. What Jesus said here is consistent with his actions throughout the Gospels and throughout his lifetime. When the Greeks came, he did not see them. And it must be for the same reason, because he had not yet fulfilled his mission to the Jews. He was sent to them, their long-awaited Messiah. And until he had completed that, other people don't come into the scene. But now that the Greeks have arrived here, in John chapter 12, everything is going to change. Jesus is in the last week of his life. He'll be shortly crucified. And then the gospel will go to Greeks and all other nations. It occurs to me that you may not be able to explain the gospel to other people. If not, I have good news. We have written a booklet called Heaven's Password. Best of all, it's free. Its focus is the one requirement which God has established for eternal life. You'll want this booklet. Write for Heaven's Password. It's free. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.